Good afternoon, and perhaps we can start by singing hymn 41. Can someone start, please? 41 in the front. God's help. Our God and our Father, we thank you for thy love and thy grace. Thou prove to us thy love by sending thy Son, Lord Jesus, to save us from our sins. We just pray as we open thy word this afternoon that we'll learn more about thy love and thy grace, that we learn more about thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We just ask for thy help. We ask in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So this meeting is an address meeting to the young people, so those are the ones that I will try to speak to. But the word of God applies to all of us. Doesn't matter whether we're young, whether we're 8 years old, 18 years old, or 80 years old. So we trust that each one of us will be benefit as we open his word. I would like to turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. I'm going to turn to a few scriptures that's very well known to most of you. Trust that we will maybe go through a few points that help us to see what a merciful and gracious God that we have, what a gracious Father, Heavenly Father that we have. Let's turn to first in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Jaffa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. He's a prophet of God. He should know better that he could not flee from the presence of God. From the one who sees everything, who see the thoughts and intents of our heart, there's no way to hide from him. But how often we try to flee from the presence of the Lord? Are you trying to flee from the presence of the Lord today? In verse 4, But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Our God loves us too much to let us go our own way. He needs to bring storms of this life to bring us back. And that's the storm. This storm happened in Jonah's life in order to bring him back. We read in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Just like Jonah, we can leave God out of our minds, out of our life, for a short while. But when God allows trials and storms in our life, they are going to wake us up. He's going to bring us back for His purpose and for His honor and glory. Now we read, turn to verse 13. We will start at the end of verse 12. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea warred and was tempestuous against them. How often do we rely on human efforts, human wisdoms, human strength to bring us through trials of in our life? But here, no matter how hard people try, they cannot overcome a storm that's allowed of God. Just like, and same with us, we cannot overcome the storm in our own life by our own strength when God allows it. We continue to verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Unlike us, God doesn't make last-minute plans. Earlier this morning, we learned about the eternal counsels of God, of our salvation, of our position as a Christian. Here, we don't know the exact fish. Perhaps it's a whale. It probably take many years to grow to this size. And at that exact moment, as Jonah was cast into the sea, that big fish swallowed up Jonah. God's thought is not our thought. God's thought is higher than our thought. His plan is always perfect. And after 3 days and 3 nights, in chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. It took 3 days and 3 nights for Jonah to realize where he was. To realize why things happen to him. Why does storm happen? He realized God allowed all this. And that's the same with us. When we are very far away from God, until we realize who allowed the trials in our life, we won't be able to go to the source of that God to seek deliverance. Because Jonah realized God allowed it, his circumstances. He turned to God, and then in verse 9, at the end of verse 9, he said, salvation is of the Lord. Until we realize trials and difficulties are allowed of God, then we also realize He's the one that can deliver us from it. And Jonah realized that. In verse 10, and the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it warmed out Jonah upon the dry land. God doesn't delay His deliverance once we learn the lesson He has for each one of us to learn. Here, Jonah's deliverance was quick. Now we continue to chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid it. God's plan and purpose doesn't change. Jonah was told to do exactly the same thing that God told him to do in the first chapter. And in verse 3, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. So we all know that Jonah went there and preaching. And in verse 10, the city repented at the preaching of Jonah. In verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. So God didn't judge Nineveh at that time. We know that a few years later, the judgment did come upon that city. Now we will read in chapter 4, verse 1. But ye displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray ye, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I flee before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest ye of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech you, my life for me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Instead of rejoicing of Jonah become upset of the result of his preaching. And here we learn, perhaps we have a little glimpse of why Jonah was upset. He was a prophet of God, but he was worried that because he preached, God would judge Nineveh, and God didn't. He's worried about his own reputation as a prophet. Jonah put his own reputation, his own interests, before God's interests. He sees things from his own view instead of from God's view. And here, Jonah, in verse 2, give us a glimpse of what kind of God we have. For I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest ye of the evil. We have a merciful and gracious God. We don't have a God of this world, God of Egypt, where Pharaoh is a hard master, or Baal, who could not let hear, even when the priest was cutting themselves, or the idols, the gods of Damascus that King Ahaz worshipped, that cost the life of his own children. We have a loving, merciful, and gracious God. And in verse 11, God went on to tell Jonah, "And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" There were 12,000 children who couldn't know their left from their right. Our God is a loving God who loves souls. And do we let our own self get in the way of seeing things from God's view? Now we want to turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, there was a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Quite often this chapter is being used for the gospel. I'm going to focus on the story of the prodigal son, but apply it to us as Christians. Because just like the prodigal son, he belonged to the family of his father. And we, as Christians, each one of us here, young and old, we belong to the family of God. 1 John chapter 3 tells us, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." In chapter 15, verse 11, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fell to me.' And he divided unto them his living." Do you think the younger son had a good relationship with his father? I think we know from the story that he didn't have a good relationship. He didn't enjoy living at his father's house. And he asked for his inheritance, and his father gave it to him. And then we read on, verse 13. "And not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." He spent it all. And he was trying to use his money to get things that could satisfy him. It lasted a while, a short while, but it came to an end. There was once an instructor, skydiving instructor, was teaching his class, and they were learning about practicing the drill, you know, before they go on their first skydive. And one of the drill is, you know, you release your main parachute. And if your main parachute doesn't deploy properly, you're supposed to release the main parachute and then deploy your backup emergency parachute. So the class was practicing that drill. And one person asked a question. So what happened if my main suit didn't work and I release it, and then I deploy my backup suit, shoot, and it still doesn't work? So what happened? So the instructor thought about it for a couple seconds and he said, well, then you might as well enjoy your 3-4. I'm guaranteed it will be the best 8 seconds you have. Are we seeking satisfaction that's offered by things of this world? Are we jumping from one 8-second thing to the next 8-second things and expect satisfaction? Here, the prodigal son spent it all, and he didn't get satisfaction at the end. And in verse 14, he said, when he had spent it all. Have you spent it all? Some of you, most of you young people will probably say, well, I wish I had money to spend. That's the last problem that I have. True, you probably don't have much money to spend. But what about your skills that God gave you? What about other talents that God entrusts you? What about the ideas, creativity that you have? What about your youthful energy? And one thing, each one of us have the same amount, whether young or old. We all have the same time. What about the time that you have? Have you spent it all on yourself? Do you have anything left for God? The prodigal son didn't have anything left at the end. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's had bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. This is the turning point of the prodigal son. When he left the house with his inheritance, he was full of himself. And finally, at this point, he was broke and empty. He finally realized his position. And he finally realized what a blessed position he had when he was living with his father. How often we take things for granted? And instead of focusing on the things that we enjoy, we can enjoy and have, focus on the little things that perhaps bother us. And here, he finally came to himself. As someone often said, our own self is what between us and to enjoy God's blessing. We went on to verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. His father's love to him didn't change. Whether before the prodigal son left or after he came back, his father's love to him was the same. Here is a small picture of our Heavenly Father, who is merciful and gracious. Even though no matter how far we went away from him, once we come to ourselves and turn back, our Heavenly Father is ready to receive us, to once again to have that, to enjoy the relationship that we can have with our Heavenly Father. In verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Our Heavenly Father only have what's best for each one of us. Second best is not good enough. Don't let Satan like that snake hiss in your ears. Does God really love you? Does He really has the best for you? Bring forth the best robe, only the best from our Heavenly Father. In verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be married. Do you think the relationship between the young prodigal son and his father was a lot better after he came back? After he realized what a blessed position he has? After he realized he cannot get satisfaction from the things offered by this world? Here he can once again to fully enjoy the relation he has with his father. And same with us. Until we see things and value the love and grace God has shown us, until we see things from His view, then we can have full communion with Him, share common thoughts with our Heavenly Father, and enjoy that relationship with Him. Now I want to continue to verse 27. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father have killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, this many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Here is the oldest son. In this chapter, at the beginning, verse 11 said, a certain man had two sons. Perhaps we can say, a certain man had two prodigal sons. He is the oldest son. He didn't went off the wrong track like his younger brother. On the surface, he did everything that father told him to do. But just like his brother, just like his younger brother, when the younger brother left the house, he was full of himself. And here, this older brother, even though he didn't leave the house, he was full of himself. He didn't share, didn't view things from his merciful, gracious father. In verse 29, if we once again, lo, this many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. How many I, me, mine in this one verse? The older son, just like the younger brother, was full of himself and couldn't enter into the thoughts of his father. Perhaps sometimes we go through trials and problems. Maybe it's a good exercise for us to write down the problem or the complaint we have, and then take a look, see how many I in that sentence. Perhaps often, whatever problem we have, whatever trial we face, it's all because of here, I. We see things from our own view, we are full of ourselves, instead of empty ourselves, instead of to see things from God's view. Earlier in the reading meeting, we talked about we need to go high to see it from heaven's view in order to see above our circumstances. And at the end, verse 32. Verse 31, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was me that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So which one of the prodigal son are you? Are you the one that went off, left the father's house, full of yourself, but came back empty yourself? Or are you the one, even though you look on the surface very good, perfect, but yet you're still full of yourself, only care about things of your own interest instead of your Heavenly Father's interest? Which one of the prodigal son are you? And which one want to just turn to Acts? Acts chapter 7. Here's an example of a Christian who see beyond his circumstances, whose eyesight reached into heaven. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the hearts, and they garnished on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Here's someone that rise above his circumstances and look into heaven. And if what's his secret of doing this? If we turn to the beginning of this chapter in verse 3 of chapter 7. Excuse me. Chapter 6, verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So here's an introduction to Stephen. He is a man, no doubt, spend time individually with God and collectively with God. And the wisdom he has is not the wisdom of this world, it's the wisdom of God. And he also was a faithful servant of God. That's his secret. That's how he was able to rise above the circumstances. Earlier we talked about the storm that Jonah faced. Human effort came short. They cannot override that. And here, Stephen, just like an airplane taking off from a stormy weather. You know, as you rise higher, Sometimes he was able to climb above the clouds and able to go beyond that. And that's what we need in order to rise above our circumstances. Each one of you, young people, I only know very few of you, and sure, I don't know what you're facing in terms of problem, but here we have the same God that Jonah has, that Stephen has, and we have a gracious and merciful God and a Father that loves us and only saves the best for us. May us spend time to value the position that we have with our Heavenly Father and to enjoy the grace and mercy and the goodness that He has shown us through His Son, the Lord Jesus. Let's just pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for thou, a gracious, merciful God. Help us to obey ourselves and help us to have common thoughts with thee. Have common thoughts with thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Help us to rise above the circumstances that we each face, knowing full well that thou allow them and thou hast our best interests. We just ask for thy help for the remaining of this afternoon as thy word go forth. We ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.